Thanks for downloading this podcast. It's for personal use only and must not be broadcast, reproduced, or used in any form without permission.
Tell your friends they can get their own copy wherever they get their podcasts.
Delivering all the news, the informed views, and just telling great motorsport stories since 2003. Powered by the racetalk.com. This is On the Grid.
G'day everyone and welcome to another episode of On the Grid here on mypodcasthouse.com or on the Radio Share Limited's RS1. Thank you for joining us. Tony Shebeki with you. We've got a big show coming your way very shortly. We're going to catch up with Richard Crowell and Mark Walker. A massive week in the past of motorsport. We've got heaps to talk about and we'll do that with those two guys shortly. Also, in a sec, we're going to hear from some of the V8 supercar drivers who have completed their final testing heading into next weekend's first round of the Supercar Championship. At, of course, Newcastle 500. We're going to hear from Triple Eight Young Gun Brock Feeney, as well as have a listen to what Will Davison from Dick Johnson Racing, two-time Bathurst 1000 winner Will Davison, has to say about his car. We'll have a listen to Newlon Racing's driver James Golding and also Matt Stone Racing rookie Cameron Hill. We'll have a chat as well. All that to come right here on The Grid.
You're listening to the latest from around the motorsport world. On the Grid.
All right, time to have a listen to what some of the drivers have said after their final test days heading into the Newcastle 500 next weekend. Of course, the brand new Gen 3 era of supercars, and Newcastle will be the first race for those Gen 3 cars, the Chevrolet Camaros and the Ford Mustangs. All new vehicles, all new regulations. It's just going to be interesting to see how these cars handle it. Let's have a listen to what two-time Bathurst 1000 winner Will Davison thinks about the situation.
Yeah, massive, long sort of run sheet today, which is exciting. We have such a new product. We've ironed out a couple of, you know, the little gremlins we had at shakedowns, and, you know, everything's running, you know, really well for us. So we're just throwing lots of pre-planned changes at the car, which is exciting. So we have so much we need to learn about this car. You know, if we can get through half of that today, it would be great. We have Newcastle coming up. So we're not just focused on Queensland Raceway. We're obviously very mindful of the challenges that lay ahead in Newcastle. Well, right and fast sounds good to me. But obviously, you know, it's a very complex sport. We sort of nearly need to unlearn a lot of the past. There are some carryover principles, but, you know, we have such a different tool here, not only aerodynamically, but mechanically. We sort of need to relearn a lot of things. So obviously we need to understand the car, so we know when we go to all these range of circuits coming ahead, we've got a bit of an idea as to what does what. But ultimately we need to be fast, and we need to know what characteristics in the car we're looking for to go fast. So yeah, it's going to be the story of the year. I think everyone's going to learn as the year goes on, but obviously we just want to make sure we get through the first round in reasonable condition. You know, I think Newcastle is going to be a baptism of fire for everyone. Of course, we want to be fast, but we're going to have all sorts of challenges that we need to be mindful of there. So looking forward to that. I would say, you know, all the four teams are equally being involved. I've certainly drove the car a lot less than a lot of other drivers. All the engineers were heavily involved. So, no, it's definitely been a group effort, and I don't think we've had any advantage or have any extra pressure.
Time to hear now from Newlon Racing driver James Golding.
Yeah, it's fantastic. To get in the car early on and ahead of a big season, it's great to get your eye in with a new car, but also a team that I know now. Coming in halfway through last year wasn't easy, but to have all the preparation, everything how you want it to be, it's definitely confidence boosting. Yeah, we're getting there slowly. It's certainly not a quick process. There's always going to be something you want to get to, but I think we've ironed out all the main things we need to know before Newcastle, and I think we'll be in pretty good state. Yeah, I think it's definitely going to shift as you get further up. You always want to achieve more. But this year, with the new car, we really need to see where we're at, come qualifying at Newcastle, and assess it from there. We want to just try and get some really consistent results up the front this year, and I think if we do a good job, we can certainly be on the podium.
And like the new cars, new drivers and someone who is making his debut in the supercar field for the first time as a full-time driver is Matt Stone Racing rookie Cameron Hill.
Yeah, I'm really excited to be here at Queensland Raceway having our last test day, our final prep before Newcastle. The day's running well, car's running quite smoothly. A lot of things to get through. Obviously, we had limited running in Sydney, so we really want to get a lot done today. Yeah, for me, it's all just about building up. Every time I go out there, just sort of creep up. You know, there's no point going out there and trying to set the world on fire. So definitely feeling really comfortable with the team. They're a great bunch of guys and, you know, getting more and more comfortable with the car. Would be lying if I said I wasn't nervous. So I'm really keen. I'm really looking forward to it. I'm sure when we put the helmet on for the first race, I'll be loving it. So I'm really, really excited.
And looking to continue his form from the end of last year into 2023 will be Triple Eight Racing Engineering young gun, Brock Feeney.
No, nerves aren't setting in, just getting ready. Last day in the car, so I just want to make sure we nail everything in our plan today and make sure I'm super comfortable before we head to Newcastle. So it's come around quick, but we're certainly ready to go. No, that's the easy answer. As you said, it's going to be wild. I mean, the track's pretty crazy, but taking these new cars there for the first time is going to be pretty hard work. So, I mean, we're all looking forward to it. I mean, at this point, it's sort of anyone's game. So, I feel like everyone's itching to go. Not really. You know, I feel like I've made a step up in myself towards just learning throughout last year. I feel like I keep getting better and better. Obviously, finished last year good and, yeah, been leading in's been going reasonably well. So, you know, I feel like myself, I'm, you know, hopefully can make a little bit of a step up this year, but it's just about keep learning and, you know, keep building what we did last year. So hopefully we can have a good start to the year and crack on for the rest of 2023. Yeah, I mean, it's going to be the craziest motor race probably ever. I mean, no one knows what to expect. As a driver, it's going to be very hard work, but as a fan, as a punter, it's going to be a lot of fun. So if I was you, I'd be there.
All right, there you go. We've heard from the supercar drivers about their machines that they take into Newcastle next week. It's now time to have a chat with the boys.
There's more great motorsport stories coming next on The Grid.
All right, time to catch up with the boys for a bit of a chat. There's plenty to cover off this week, so no interviews, just us, Richard Crowe, Mark Walker. Hello to you two boys.
Sorry about that, Chebex. How are you?
Excellent, thank you, mate. How are you, Richard?
I'm super.
Excellent. Mark, how are you?
I'm pretty okay as well. This is in stereo here.
It is.
I know. The two boys in the same room. I'm unfortunately, we really did try to get the live broadcast up and running, but you know how hard it is to find a brewery that's open on a Tuesday.
Well, that to be fair, that is true. But if that the amount of trying was, hey, we should try and do something live on the Tuesday night.
Let's try.
Yeah, that's a great idea. Oh, that brewery's closed. That brewery's closed. No, that one's too far away. Oh, you got to get over the Westgate. Oh. And then we've ended up here.
So as a result, you guys have gone to the Brewery of Walker.
Yes. Well stocked, it turns out. It's actually just Reckless Brewing. They home deliver to Melbourne. Our friends up there in Bathurst.
Yes.
I've only found one decent brewery in the whole of Australia, and it's in Bathurst.
Mm. It's their satellite brewery.
Official Melbourne stockists. Of Reckless, but hello to Jared and all the team up there at
Piper Street Bathurst,
yeah.
Isn't it?
Has anyone found my hat yet?
No. Why aren't they sponsoring us?
That's a good question.
It is a good question.
I'd more promo for free stuff from them. That would be all I would require. Anyway.
What's the news, boys? How did you go down in Tassie, Richard?
Tassie was good. Chebexter, the opening round of the Shannon's Speed Series. I think we had a pretty decent weekend. Small field, but there was plenty of storyline to come out of it and some good racing. A big crash. So that was unfortunate for some. Fortunate for those managing social media looking for video views. Unfortunate that everyone walked away from it.
Do we want to talk about the crash now?
We'll roll into that.
Yeah, okay.
I thought TCR was pretty good racing. They've got more cars coming and some good things. There were some really good announcements about that category made at the event, which was cool. S5000 was good. Trans Am, I think, proving to be box office already. And that series this year is just going to be off the chops with the level of competition in it. So really looking forward to seeing how that plays out. And Touring Car Masters had a challenging weekend with some small field, but there was still some entertaining stuff going on. So overall, good crowd, just over 11,000 people over the 3 days. Good vibe. Weather was superb, better than it is here in Melbourne right now. Chebex, give you the hot tip.
Bit cool, isn't it?
Actually, it's the freezing tip at the moment. But yeah, it was. Doesn't sound right, does it? I'm sorry, but no, good stuff, Shebex, and a good start to the weekend, and the live broadcast on Stan Sport and the Nine Network was well received. So I think it's a positive start to the Shannon's Speed Series season.
The old Trans Am, that was pretty spicy. A lot of talking points there. Obviously, James Moffat doing James Moffat things. He's a pro, and you know, in a different world, he'd probably still be a full-time supercar driver, but went out there in a car that did really good things in the past and continuing to do really good things, even though he had to battle his way back past there in one of the later races where he missed the start. But he did really well. And you said the big crash, Benny Grice, what a shocker. You know, he was just sort of wobbling there in the middle of the track with a car that was broken and got cleaned up by James Simpson. And that was really unfortunate stuff.
So yeah. What are the thoughts on the crash, boys? Because I had a chat to a couple of people, Dave Stewart being one. He was down at Phillip Island, and we were talking. And he said that he believed that there was nowhere that Gricey could go, and he was off the racing line effectively, and probably really wasn't to blame in any way for the crash at all. But it was just an unfortunate thing, and I suppose that's right. But I would have thought that he might have gone onto the grass.
Yeah, it's difficult there. So the car broke a gearbox, Shebex, is what happened. And Gricey went through two of them on the weekend. So that's why the car was going slowly. And it happened coming into the final corner. So, you know, hindsight's a wonderful thing. And you can look back at it and go, probably could have just gone straight ahead to pit lane rather than coasting to a stop. But, you know, you're in the thick of the action, busy bit of the racetrack. Lots going on field around you, and that's not what happened. He was off the racing line. It happened very quickly. There weren't any flags out, so there was no warning for anyone else, and it's difficult there. The flag point's sort of on driver's left on the inside coming around the exit of turn six into turn seven. So you're James Simpson, you're wide, and you're already offline, and you're in the middle of a battle. He had someone on his inside, didn't he? So. Yeah, it's unfortunate. It's just one of those things, and it resulted in two pretty trashed race cars, but it showed how tough those Trans Am cars are. They both managed to walk away. Gricey was taken to Lonnie Hospital very briefly just for some precautionary checks just in case, but he's all good. So we'll be battered and bruised, but we'll walk on. So, look, unfortunate. You're going to get that, aren't you, in competitive fields and where everyone's on top of each other like that, and it was just one of those things that Gricey's car was dead stick and had nowhere else to go.
Good crowds, Crosby.
Yeah, 11,600 odd over the three days. So it was significantly bigger than last year. Really well promoted. And actually, tip of the hat to Rob Fares, who we all know from an industry point of view, he's the voice of Launceston Radio, basically. He's LAFM and their breakfast show guy. And Ripper Bloke, he basically took over all of the local promotion this year and drove it really hard. Media event in the city on Thursday beforehand, like all the TV was there, all the radio was there. So really, really impressive. The Tassie public love their motorsport, Chebex, and they got right behind it, which was great. So as a result, good crowd. Weather was great, which helped the cause. It was bloody hot on Saturday and everyone got quite sunburnt because it turns out there's no ozone down there at all. Like just non-existent. Walk outside, sunburn. It's like New Zealand. But Sunday, a bit of rain overnight, and then Sunday was quite cool. And, really, really good day. Good weekend. And there's probably some questions over where that event fits in the calendar moving forward, whether it needs to be the opening round. And a lot of competitors, I think, struggle to make Tasmania work that early in the season. So I think that might be looked at moving forward as to whether that event stays where it is or moves later. But otherwise, I think it's established itself as a good part of the circuit racing landscape down there in Launceston.
It's either going to be first or last, doesn't it? Because otherwise it's going to be anything in between.
No, I don't think so. I think there's a spot for it.
Okay. You kind of want as big a field as possible for your first round and just try and get people to commit to the whole series. You know, obviously the numbers will pick up and, you know, there'll be more TCM cars when you get to Newcastle. And like you said, it's a long time until May, isn't it? Until we get to go to Phillip Island, see the TCRs and the Trans Ams and S5000s again. S5000s, good racing there in that third race. I was impressed by that.
Yeah, they were good all weekend. And they were just getting better as they learned the push to pass. It's the first time they've ever used it on a road course. It's still a system that's developing.
The push to defend as well. Like,
yeah, which really is great. It's all part of the strategy, which made it fun, I thought. And, yeah, it allowed people like Roberto Mary, who got out of position, to work their way forward. But I like the fact that it was never as free kickish as DRS is in F1. It wasn't just push the button and you're going to sail past. Yeah. It was get you alongside into the braking zone or in a position where you can fire it down the inside, like Joey Mawson did on Cooper Webster there in that last race. But it was never a just hit the button, sail past. So I think that's good. I'm really excited to see what it does at Phillip Island with 30 seconds of it between out of the final corner down to turn one.
So you could basically burn it all in one lap.
We could. They'll probably give them more.
Yeah.
More there. I mean, they had 90 seconds for Adelaide per race, 45 for Simmons, but it's also a 48-second lap. So Simmons playing to minute 25, I would have guessed 60 seconds, maybe a little bit more for those races, if not more than that, to give them enough use for it. So, no, it's a good thing for S5000. That's great field. 9 cars covered by 6/10 in quali. I mean, that's as good as anything in the sport right now. It doesn't have beyond the 10 or 11 cars. That's the only difference at the moment now with S5000.
TCR, obviously, Bailey Sweeney with the win. That was a bit of a left field tip there. Mm. A pretty stacked field, but it was probably more so the failure of the new Audis that really came to the fore.
Yes, and another, really awkward situation, really, and another great sort of motorsport salvage story where they found a local former rally team workshop that went and were able to weld the input shafts back together, and they lasted 10 laps of race two, unfortunately. But it got them back out there, which was cool. And friend of the show, Zach Suter, did a really nice job in his private car. And Will Brown sort of made them all look silly as he carved his way through the field there, but unfortunately was unable to finish that race. So, yeah, strange one for the new Audis, but they'll bounce back. It's a known problem in Audi, and they're working on a solution. It's just those cars are so new here that there's no bits to fix them yet. But like you said, they've got till May till they go racing again now. They're not at the Bathurst 6 hour, so there's time.
It's Saturday was a bit of a tough one if you're a star attraction, because Bowie also had to sit out the Saturday race as well with a dud engine.
Yeah, the good engine pop. Shebex, another really good story was Cam Tilley,
and that
brilliant Valiant pacer. They had another front windscreen issue, like they did at Bathurst last year, which is really odd. And they put the call out on Facebook, hey, has anyone got a front screen for a Valiant pacer in Tasmania? And it's not something you'd expect to get a rush of notifications on, but a local glazier company, they had in their possession, the nice lady behind the company had a VG Valiant.
No. Restored,
beautiful car, like not in pieces or anything. This is a running going concern. And she went, yeah, you can take mine. We'll pull the screen out, bring and put it in for you. So they popped the screen out of this lovely VG Valiant, took it to the racetrack and plugged it into Cam's car so we could go racing. How good is that?
Did they take it back out after the race?
Oh, I'm not sure, actually. I haven't followed that up. And I've just given my bloody hot away. So
the thing was, their Facebook absolutely blew up.
Yeah.
It went nuts. Yeah. So the good karma there, play down totally. On social media. Well done.
Mm. Mm. Good stuff. Sounds like a great weekend down in Tassie. I found myself at Phillip Island doing World Superbikes. Great meet. The World Superbikes.
I was going to ask, how was it? Like crowd, atmosphere,
vibe? It was a really good meet, and I won't give my not away other than to say that the Super Sport race, second race on the Sunday, absolutely robbed of a fantastic finish, and I'll explain a little bit later why. But no, look, these guys, they're doing 320, 325 down Gardiner Strait in Phillip Island. So they're as quick as any MotoGP bike hitting down there, and they're as crazy as any MotoGP rider. And as a matter of fact, a lot of MotoGP rider, Moto2, Moto3 riders are making their way into World Superbikes because it's just more accessible, I suppose. And where I've always said, I've never hidden from it, that MotoGP is that sort of that country cousin of Formula One in regards to the way, you know, they have the riders are able to walk through the crowd and everything sort of more open than it is in Formula One. Well, World Superbikes is even a level down from that again, but that's why the punters love it, I think, because everything is just so accessible. Pommy guy, I can't remember his name now, Miller, I think it is, who does some interviews, and he runs a whole show in the paddock. So if you get a paddock pass, you can just sit. They've got like this massive marquee where he does interviews with all the riders, World Supersport and World Superbikes. He does interviews with the team managers. He does interviews with officials and everything. And then he does quizzes. And it's just a really good – and he basically works from 9 in the morning and keeps going right through until 5 in the afternoon, just doing all this stuff. So they've got it pretty well sussed out. Really impressed with the World Superbikes, which is run by Dorna. So I suppose they know how to put on a motorbike race.
How did you go with the surnames, my friend?
Yeah, no, okay.
Roll some out.
Let me tell you, there was a couple of times when I got a little bit confused. So there was one point where I called them drivers and not riders.
Oh, that would have gone down poorly.
Well, the bloke that I was commentating with, Mark Brax, who we spoke to last week on the show, the amount of SMSs he got when that actually happened, of people saying, who is this dickhead? Get him off. What does he know? But apparently, worst of all, and I didn't actually, I don't believe I said it, but I've been told that when I was doing the presentations for the Aussie Superbikes on the Sunday afternoon, that apparently I said, ladies and gentlemen, would you please welcome our Australian supercar riders? So I've actually gone supercar instead of superbikes, but I don't believe I said that because I would have known if I said that, and they would have known if I said it. But it had been said, but no one could prove it to me. Razgatlioglu,
nice, good
top rack.
Mm-hmm.
No, there's a couple there. Alvaro Bautista, easy one. World Superboard Sport had a couple of rippers. Nicolo Bulliga, I think it was.
I'd go and watch the World Superboards.
Can Anjou. O-N-C-U, and it was Anjou.
Oh, yeah. French, is he?
No, Spanish, apparently. He's Turkish.
Oh, that'll do it.
Yeah, so that was a great story that came out of it, too, that Top Rack Razgatlioglu, who is a Turkish superbike rider in World Superbikes.
Yeah.
Before he made his way to Australia, he spent 3 days in Turkey helping with the rescue efforts from the earthquake and stuff, and was really disappointed that he had to leave. He wanted to really be there with family and the like and looking for friends or whatever it may be. But that was sort of a sad story that came out of it, but a lovely story to hear that, you know, he'd taken himself down there and did what he had to do. And yeah,
good.
Phillip Island, great track for motorbikes.
Yeah,
it really is.
Did we work out what the Grand Ridge Brewery is?
Oh, yeah. So, a bloke.
Here we go. Yeah.
So, this bloke's just a rich bloke. Seriously, he owns Grand Ridge Brewery and he owns, I think, 70 other microbreweries.
Hang on. 70?
I believe so. 70 microbreweries that he's brought out. His comment was that I'm not the richest bloke in Australia, but I'm trying to be.
Oh.
So, he also owns Holiday units that he rents out. He's just got his finger in so many different pies, and he is a crazy dude.
Are you now close personal friends with him?
Oh, well, no, I didn't actually meet him, but I think we... So Grand Ridge Brewery is in Gippsland, and, yeah, it's just a brewery that sits in Gippsland. So it's not owned by Lindsay Fox. And this guy literally rang up Phillip Island and said, I've got a wad of cash I want to use to sponsor the Superbikes. Do you want it? And they said, yes, please.
So I could probably go and take him back to first week university business studies and economies of scale and things like that and consolidation, perhaps, you know, instead of having 70 microbreweries, you can just have one big brewery.
If you've got it to spend it, just spend it. What are you going to do with it? You can't take it with you.
True.
And this guy gets front and center at the presentation. He gets to present the trophies. Last year, apparently, he was taking selfies on the stage and got in big trouble with Dorna for breaking protocol as to how you present the trophies and all this sort of stuff. So a lot of interesting stuff.
Oh, the good detective work from you.
Yeah, thank you.
Nice. Very good.
Thank you.
Oh, excellent. Very good.
Yeah, so Superbikes, excellent. What else have we had? We've had Formula One testing in Bahrain.
Yeah, probably more meaningful that than the supercar testing at Sydney Motorsport Park, let's be honest. Red Bull fast, Ferrari-ish, McLaren not. Aston Martin look like the big winners of the off-season testing so far.
by just Lance Stroll bidding his
bike, bend his bike, so they got Filip Drugovich in the car. Yeah. And a net improvement there. that's harsh. They've got Alonso. They're going to be really good fun this year. Yeah, but I think we need to hand it over to our supercar. I was going to say correspondent, but you're not really, are you? But no. there are, Shebeck, some opinions over last Wednesday's. What do we describe it as?
Schmozzle.
Well, yeah, there's been a lot said, hasn't there, about
the most meaningless test day that's ever been run.
Yeah, exactly. That. I feel sorry for poor David Reynolds. He's one of the biggest victims in the history of supercars, because he's pretty boisterous about the Mustang when it came in 2019, and he's pretty upset with the world at the moment. I mean, then again, the one time that he did have the fast car was the FGX in 2015, and he got smoked by his teammates then and wound out without a job at the end of the year. But anyway, that's neither here nor there, is it?
But so, Mark, what are the punters saying, that they're disappointed that both cars didn't have the opportunity to perform on the same level on the day?
No, the thing is that it was wet and dry for starters, so it's hard to get a baseline there. Yeah, you can't control that. And they had three different tyre types available to them. So you could have the super softs through to the super hards. So it's hard to compare everything when you're running three different compounds and they're all different conditions, and it's a test day and everyone's running their own program. So obviously some of them did quali sims and big hero laps and they look like heroes. Good on them.
So what do people expect from a test day?
Well, exactly. The problem is that it's all published and it's out there in the open and everyone's having their say about it. But at the end of the day, it's meaningless, because you look at what everyone said. You know, some are saying that these Fords were 60 Ks overweight. Mm. They haven't got a baseline weight determined yet. They haven't got the center of gravity weight determined yet, because a lot of the little auxiliary things in the cars, like the padding and the cameras and the this and the that, the dashboards on the Mustangs haven't been built yet. So they haven't arrived at all the final spec for the cars. Really, at the end of the day, the two things that they've got to get right with this package are the aero and the engines. Everything else is spec.
Mm-hmm. We don't want to be talking parity after round three.
I guarantee you we will be.
We'll 100%, but we don't want to be.
The problem is, there's no point talking about parity now, because there's been no apples and apples comparison yet, because everyone out there was running a different setup to a different idea of what they're going to do on their test day. So it's absolutely pointless getting all upset at the moment about anything, because there's nothing to get upset about until the Chevys go out there and smoke the whole field in Newcastle, then we can start getting upset. But supercars have shown that they're willing to fix up their wrongs. When they buggered up the parity with the Mustang and the ZBs, they sorted it out.
Yeah.
Like, it didn't actually do anything to change the results back then, mind you. When they brought in the parity against the Mustangs won the next seven races. So
yeah, correct.
Parity doesn't mean that everyone gets a win. Too, you got to remember that.
No, that's right. For people that are complaining about the test day, the test day is not there for us. It's there for the teams. It's their test day. They're testing things. They're getting it right. The test day is a show-off day, effective, and especially for this year, where people could go and see the new cars. But don't expect anything out of it.
But it's pitched as the official preseason test week.
And they got a good crowd
and they put live time. Yeah, they did. Yep. And they get live timing up and all of that. So, but here's how some people work. Shebex. So Formula One do live coverage from their testing in Bahrain.
Yep.
All 3 days live. Sky Sports F1. Fox took it here. People were complaining that it was boring.
But testing's the most boring thing in the world.
Bingo. Of course it is. Exactly. People
don't watch it.
Complaining about it.
Turn it off.
It's exactly. But what would happen if they weren't broadcasting testing? And it happened here. Because Fox only did the deal to show it here the week of testing. People were complaining that they couldn't watch testing. But then they get fired up. This is my knot. I'm going right now. Then they get fired up that they can't watch testing. But then they get annoyed that when they do watch testing, it's really, really, really freaking boring, because testing is very, very boring. It grinds my gears something chronic.
Another thing that grinds my gears is all the fair weather sailors out there in supercars land.
Mm.
Because we had a wet test day, and typically what happens when it's a wet test day, bugger it. We're not going out there. It's a waste of time. And we were told by everyone that it was a waste of time there on Wednesday, because they were running the old spec hard, wet tyres, which are 5 seconds off the pace. Great. Okay, so we're not going to bother. It's too hard. We might bend the car and it's pointless. But what do you know? Triple Eight went out there and just banged around all day in the wet, which is something that they do at QR when it starts raining up there for no good reason on their test days. They don't waste it. They go out there and they form a program around the wet. So whatever Triple Eight, whatever they've cottoned onto with their methodology, it seems to work because they've won 10 drivers' championships in the last few years.
Can I tell you that test days are about as useful as warm-up sessions at motor racing? We had one at Phillip Island for superbikes, and it rained, and two bikes went out in the whole 15 minutes. What was the use having a warm-up session?
The thing is, though, the test days aren't a waste because, you know, you can...
No.
You learn things, and the things that don't work, you know that they don't work, and you never bother wasting time on them on a week race weekend. But the thing with the wet weather, though, is that you go out there, it's the first time you've had a chance to drive these cars in the wet. You find out if they fog up or if they fill up with water or they leak like a sieve, or the first-year apprentice that did the insulation around the widget fills up with water and starts frying because it got wet. Like, you find that out by taking it out there in the wet on a Wednesday in Bankstown, whereas if it starts raining on the grid at Newcastle in the first race and the first time you ever drive in the wet is then, and then you find out that the widget fries, what did you gain by sitting in the shed twiddling your thumbs all morning?
And the first-year apprentice has already been sacked for another mistake he made, and then you've got no one to blame.
He's probably dropped out of TAFE by now. Yeah.
Well, I think, Brad, and we touched on this last week, that Brad Jones Racing's been the best of any team in covering their process with this new car. And they posted a video the other day of Brad going through what worked and what didn't at the test. They were like, here's the brake rotor. It hasn't worn. It's done a full day. How good. We love it. Awesome. But then the clutch bell housing, they've got issues with that with cooling. So that's where the test was useful. But I think the biggest criticism and people throwing stones over the fact of parity, and clearly it's not right because they wouldn't have done another set of aero testing if it wasn't. But they don't have a minimum weight, like Mark said. They weren't all running the same specification anyway. So you can learn a little bit out of it. But there's, in terms of a performance base, we know nothing. Absolutely nothing about where this field's going to roll out in Newcastle. And if anything, all it does is build the anticipation a little bit more.
Exactly. Because that's exciting.
We go into that race with zero form guide, like utterly zero form guide, which is awesome.
It goes back to what I said last week about Rick Kelly winning three championships for Nissan on the back of his excellent performances at the test day. Is Jack Smith going to finish top five in the championship this year? He's third and fifth in the two sessions there on Wednesday.
Oh, but BJ are good at new cars.
But it's the test day. Everyone's getting amped up and excited. Yeah, exactly. No one said anything about Jack Smith. I mean, what does that mean? Was he just out there running quality runs?
Well, Corey Jones was quick too, wasn't he?
There you go. Awesome.
Yeah.
I hope Jack Smith does go out there and bag a couple of top threes in Newcastle. Well, that'd stir the pot.
Nothing would please me more than Andre Heimgartner winning next weekend. That'd be tremendous.
Brad Jones 1-4. I'm here for it. Lock it in, Eddie. I wouldn't prioritise that. I'd let them.
No, that's good. That's good for the sport.
Where do we reckon the teams are at in their head about Newcastle? Are there many teams out there absolutely crapping themselves?
I think
they. Or do they reckon they've got it under control?
Oh, outwardly, sure, they're all good, but There'll be some stress. There's not enough spare parts.
Yeah.
That's their biggest worry. If they were starting the championship at Sydney Motorsport Park, even Phillip Island, the Bend, they wouldn't be worried because there's much less chance of bananaing a car compared to Newcastle, which is the sketchiest straight circuit on the planet.
And the other thing too, it's all good and well banging around Sydney Motorsport Park, Winton, QR to an extent. What relevance are any of those tracks to a goat track at Newcastle with the concrete walls and manhole covers and gutters and everything else that's going on there? There's not much relevance at all to it. It's going to be its own little beast, and they've got 3 45-minute sessions on Friday to sort that out.
And the funny thing for mine is, so we go from Newcastle to the Grand Prix.
Different again.
So we go from Newcastle, tight, technical, bumpy, narrow street circuit, to the most open, flowing, wide expanse of racetrack in the country in Albert Park. Like, and neither of them are atypical of what our racetracks are that we generally race on in supercars. So we're not going to know. Where's round three? Is that Simmons? May after Grand Prix? I can't remember.
Yeah.
Anyway, there's been a bit going on. So it won't be till we get to places like that and, you know, your Wanneroos of the world and even Sydney Motorsport Park that we actually get a real form guide of what these things are like, because the first two events are just so opposite polarizing ends of the spectrum in terms of the racetracks we go to.
And the good thing is, too, you used to lob up to Simmons Plains and you go over to Barber Gully. Well, they're triple A tracks.
Mm.
They're not triple A tracks anymore. Everyone's got the same piece of kit. And that's the thing I like about this year is that there's no excuses. You've got all these people out there, Chaz and Adam DeBoro, pretty good. Cam Waters, pretty good. They have no excuses this year.
Yeah.
The excuse in the past, they don't have a triple A car, doesn't wash anymore. Everyone's got the exact same bit of kit. And if they're good enough, they can make it work.
The interesting thing for mine, Chebex, just to put a full stop on this point, is if we go to the first couple of rounds, and after three rounds, it's SVG leading, but then Mustangs 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, do we have a parity problem?
You have a driver parity problem, I think.
Yeah, exactly.
You got one driver that's too good and the rest just aren't good enough. Perth after Albert Park and then Tassie after that.
Well, that seems like needlessly complicated logistics, doesn't it?
Flyaway rounds.
Flyaway rounds. Okay. Yeah, well, there you go. So Wanneroo is going to give us a pretty good indication. That'll be good fun.
Yeah.
Bang some super softs on them over at Perth on the chase grader.
Fantastic.
Bring it on.
Here for it.
Very much so. What else are we talking about?
I think we've covered the spectrum.
NASCAR?
Well, what happened in NASCAR? I didn't watch it.
Oh, I did.
I know.
I would expect you did.
That companion.
Yeah.
Win at third startup for Richard Childress Racing, Kyle Busch. That was a big result. Obviously, the big transition over from the powerhouse at Joe Gibbs last year where he kind of battled, but... Three events this year and three events where he's looked very much in contention, and he absolutely sealed the deal on the weekend there. So he's back at Chevy and he was popular. People cheered him. They'd stopped booing him. So that was big. Big that he's won a race 19 seasons in a row. Think about that for a moment.
Good stat.
And also think about him and his brother, Kurt. They are now the winningest brothers, passing the Allison brothers.
Wow.
In the history of NASCAR. So some big stats falling there. But early season, Kyle Busch looks pretty solid. And Fontana there. It 60 Ks west of downtown LA and it snowed.
Crazy, isn't it?
They lost Saturday running because it was snowing. Good luck. Yeah.
Good luck.
All right.
I'm going to Phillip Island this weekend.
Oh, you are too, yes.
The first round of Porsche Michelin Sprint Challenge Australia Series, the second tier Porsche Championship.
I am too. My ticket just arrived.
Good news.
You're beauty.
I haven't got mine yet. That's a concern, isn't it? So that's going to be really good fun. Looking forward to that. It's a great championship, Chebex, this year. A lot of young drivers coming into it. There are 17 Porsche Juniors in the Excellent. Michelin Junior program this season. And I think 8 of them are in Sprint Challenge. So
three classes too, Richard?
Yeah, 3 classes. So Ronan Murphy, son of Greg, is racing, which is cool. Marcus Flack, son of Damien Flack. Zach Stitchbury, who's the son of the late Ashley Stitchbury, who's a bit of a Kiwi motor racing legend. Marco Giltrap, who is the grandson of Sir Colin Giltrap, legendary motoring figure in New Zealand. The list goes on. There's some other ones. Young Caleb Sumich from McIlroy. Lockie Bloxham's back. Harrison Goodman's back. It's a crackingly good field. There's probably 10 of these young kids that could win races this season. So it's going to be a really good championship to watch. And all of the coverage will be free on YouTube via our good friends at Blendline TV.
Yeah, really quite a good race meeting. New South Wales Supersports kicking off their season in Phillip Island, which seems quite south for New South Wales. very, very South Wales.
Well, on that, the opening round of the New South Wales State Motor Racing Championship is on Winton? This weekend at Winton.
Oh, clearly, as you do, yes. Of course. Victorian Sports Car Series, so a fair bit of GT action going on there. BMW E30s. Hyundai XL's big field of them, which is going to be pretty exciting. And of course, you can't enter the circuit. So
don't bother going. No.
But you can watch it on Blendline.
Yeah. So that's the only way you can catch it, to be honest.
Is what was that? You can't go to the circuit.
No, there's not no spectator access, Shebex.
Really?
Yeah, this is correct. Okay. Yep.
Hots and knots, boys.
Seemed like an opportunity. Probably not.
Good race meeting. You'd probably sell some tickets for that, you would have thought. But anyway, maybe, you know, week after Supers, no one wants to go. Anyway, hots and knots. Hots, my hot will be, I have to go my one of my favorite categories in S5000. Oh, a really good show on the weekend and a very, very deep and competitive field. And I touched on it before with six tenths covering the top nine in qualifying and thousands in it at the front. Really, really good racing. And I think that category is finally maturing to where we all believe it can be. A couple more cars would be really nice, but it's going to be a really good championship this year, the Gold Star. And some people gave it really good coverage on the weekend, which was awesome. So really looking forward to round two. They're at Phillip Island next, and they'll be awesome around there. They're good fun to watch, and watch out for the lap record chasing there, which will be good fun. So that's my generic hot. And just with on top of that is just how good is Joey Mawson. Like, if that bloke, so he should get the premier hire co-drive, right? So he was up there testing at Queensland Raceway today as we talk. If he doesn't get given the super license, there's no point trying to go and race supercars. Full stop.
The people that didn't give a good coverage, do they know they didn't?
There was a bit of a mic drop there.
Yeah. Yep.
Mark?
Next. Hot. The Rally Retro Festival.
Oh, there's some good photos out of that.
Yeah, hell yeah. I've just rolled up to it because I was quasi aware that it was a thing that happened. And you roll in there and it's WRC car, WRC car, WRC car, Brocks around Australia car, Brocks around Australia car. Holy smokes, what a thing. The cars there were just sensational. And even some of the ones that don't necessarily have the big pedigree that you'd be absolutely aware of, you know, BDA Escort driven at 1,000 tenths, and it was mega or Dados or whatever, Peugeots, all sorts of kit. It was just the most incredible day. Set up a little super special day stage at the MeTech Driver Training Center up at Bayswater North. And what an absolute thing. Lots of famous people there. Neil Bates was there flogging around and missing corners and spraying everyone with shrapnel. It was just brilliant. And so it sort of leads into a bit of a quasi knot that's not my knot, was the fact that nobody knew about it. You know, we posted on the Race Talk and everyone's like, I live 10 minutes from there and I had no idea. You should have heard the turbos banging about. I mean, that was a dead giveaway that anyone north side of Melbourne should have heard that.
But it's a normal weekend up in Dandenong area.
Yeah, true. Probably true. But if they promoted that, they'd get 10,000 people there because it was just awesome. And I'm sure they'd get more awesome cars out of the woodworks too. So keep an eye out for the Rally Retro Festival. There's a bit of a gallery up there on the Race Talk of some of the different bits of kit that were going around. But it was $10 to get in. Like, it was value plus. It was $20 per car. So really good day out there. And I hope it kicks on to become a much bigger thing than it currently is. And currently the baseline's right there. They just need to put a bit of love behind it. And I'm sure they'll sell some tickets.
My hot is motorbike racing at Phillip Island. It has to be one of the best tracks in the world for bikes to go to. The closeness of the racing, when especially in the Aussie Super Sport, the 300, the Aussie Super Sport 300, which is sort of like an old 125 class, I suppose. But these guys were coming from 12th up to first. The amount of slingshotting that they were getting and all that sort of stuff was just amazing. So just watching bikes again. And Phillip Island as a track is just a fantastic track. I don't know why I sort of do know, but I just wish we had supercars back there because it's a really, it really is a great track to watch. Commentating from the top of the tower is not the best.
The best commentary box in the country.
In the world.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. How many punters do you reckon you had there? Did it look decent?
You know what, Mark? It was decent, but I reckon they would have loved more. But I think what happened was because they had the final round of the World Superbikes last year due to COVID, and then that was only 14 weeks ago. And then they've rocked up with the first round this year. Money's tight, all that sort of stuff. And I think people have probably thought, well, I went there 3 months ago, do I really want to go again? Nah, don't worry about it. And I reckon that probably hurt them. But the first race of the season's cool. It's been there since 2009 as the first race, apart from the COVID years. So that's where it needs to be. And it's just a great track.
Well, that leads nicely, Shebex. It's almost like we planned it, which we didn't, because we don't plan anything. That leads nicely into my not, which is the Australian motor racing calendar this year. It is stupid. Just the way the dates have landed, the lateness of the dates, and where people are having to pull race meetings to make them work is insane. It's the first time. I mean, it happened last year, but we're still, you know, COVID affected. But, you know, Porsche Sprint Challenge shouldn't have to go to a closed event at, with the full credit to PIARC, and I'm not having a crack at them, it's a club level race meeting. A national championship shouldn't be racing there, because, but they had to, because there was nowhere else for them to go that worked from a calendar point of view. And there wasn't enough collaboration between all the various parties to make it all work properly. So, for instance, Touring Car Masters race last weekend, they had 9 cars, Shebex. Terrible. Yeah. But they're going to Newcastle in a week's time from now. So if you're Cam Tilly and you're dragging your car across the country on the back of a trailer, that's an enormous commitment to do those 2 race meetings in 3 weeks.
Yeah.
Let alone the fact one of them's on a straight circuit, which is always pretty brutal. So... And it's rough, Shebex. And then Superbike slap in the middle of it as an international event on the motoring stage as well. It's this year's calendar is the most challenging from a logistical point of view that I've seen in 15 odd years of working full time in this sport. And it is
so, Richard, to throw something out to you then in regards to how we could fix this. Do we need Motorsport Australia to have more contact with the calendars? Do we need them to be like the official adjudicator to an extent and look at all the calendars and say, well, hang on, guys, these 2 dates don't work. You shouldn't be clashing there. And I understand that it's all to do with all the tracks and they've all got their dates and all that sort of stuff. But do we need an adjudicator, a mediator here?
Well, they don't really have that power, mate. It's up to the various series to set their own dates and do the deal. So Supercar set the date for Newcastle. It is what it is. Everyone works around that. But it's not one person's fault or one organization's fault. It's just the way it's all worked this year for whatever reason. And I think there's about 50, but it is the most challenging. But I mean, you just said it before, Supercars after the Grand Prix go to Wanneroo and then back to Tasmania.
Yeah.
This doesn't make sense, does it? And surely you do.
And then up to Darwin after that.
Yeah. It's a really challenging calendar, Shebex, and it's not the first instance this year where you'll see a major national category running on a club-level event because it's the only one they can get on. So, yeah, challenges. That's why not this year, and I think it was exposed on the weekend with the grid sizes because it legitimately hurt some categories because of everything else that's going on.
Yeah.
It's the sort of thing, you have a year like this and everyone goes, oh, well, that was rubbish. We'll never do that again. You crack your coconuts together and you come up with a better solution for next year, isn't it?
Mm.
Yep.
Mark, you're not.
Why not? What's my not? Fontana, NASCAR, the last race on the Auto Club Speedway, as we know it, the 2-mile track that Roger Penske built in 1997. They never bothered to repave it in its entire life. Wow. So it was a really gritty old buggered racetrack, but it made really good racing in the end. There was a lot of years when it was pretty rubbish, but by the end, the track surface itself was just garbage and it actually produced really good racing because it was so bumpy and awful.
Hasn't been resurfaced for 53 years.
1997.
Oh, 97. Sorry. Okay.
Yeah, well, that would have been absolutely ridiculous.
That's
a bit of Darlington.
But NASCAR bought that back in-house sort of thing. It's under the NASCAR banner these days. They sold off 80% of the block for $544 million. Think about that for a moment. $500 million back in the kitty.
Ooh.
They've kept a portion of it, which I believe is around the grandstand, the main straight area where they plans are afoot to sort of turn that into a half mile short circuit, something between a Martinsville and a Bristol with a bit of banking in there, and still have a NASCAR presence over on the West Coast because it's still one of the biggest markets in American sport, and they want to have a footprint there, but it'll be at least a couple of years before they get all that up and running. But a shame, you know, by the end, you know, the track was racing really well. The downside is they were either going to have to repave it and it would have been rubbish again for 20 years or they sold off most of the property for $544 million, which is good money. You can't pass that up.
And being torn down, it will forever be the fastest racetrack in the world.
Yep.
Gilles de Ferrand still holds the closed course record for the quickest lap in a racing car on a closed circuit in the history of all motorsports in the Team Penske Champ Car 2001. Amazing.
Fontana Racetrack sounds like somewhere where Fonzie would have raced.
You fly over it coming
back in the
LAX.
Happy days.
She's a big old joint out there.
Yeah. But, you know, think of the IndyCar races there. There's some ridiculous,
sketchy.
IndyCar races. Hang on. I know the one. Is that actually when you're heading east from Los Angeles?
Yep.
Yeah. You fly over it?
Yeah.
Ah, okay. Yeah. I have seen it.
Big oval.
But, you know, Greg Moore there too. Yeah. You know, like there was so many pertinent moments in the history of the sport, and it's going to go under a bulldozer.
There you go. Why not? Folks, take down this website, cullthecapebarrengeese.com.au. I'm starting a petition very shortly to have every freaking bird at Phillip Island shot, apart from the penguins. They're okay. Can you believe that Australia hosts an international race at Phillip Island, an amazing track, and the World Supersport race, second biggest category in World Superbikes, Supersport, international race gets cut short by 5 laps due to the fact we had 2 geese up the top of turn 11 wanting to cross into the middle. Red flagged the race. 3 bikes were within half a second of each other. The absolute public of the world were robbed of an amazing finish to a motorbike race because 2 bloody geese wanted to walk across the track.
You haven't thought this through.
Seriously.
You cull the geese, then the penguins will take over. And then you'll cull the penguins, and then probably the tiger snakes will take over because there's tiger snakes.
So the question is, where the hell is Cape Barren? Obviously, they've been imported birds. They're like rabbits, these things.
I have been attacked by Cape Barren geese before, but I did find out that kryptonite is mountain bikes. They don't like mountain bikes riding at them. Obviously, MotoGP bike, that's fine. No drama.
These guys
but
didn't
a mountain
care. They
bike,
were going to cross whether the bikes were going or not.
If they were out there on their mountain bike, they would have skedaddled, I guarantee
you. Can I give a suggestion to the people at PyArk? Can we have like a big tray of food just sitting on the edge of the fence so they go and eat it and don't actually worry about crossing during race time?
Are they there for food or just public nuisance? They know what they're doing.
They were there for TV times out during supercars. I know that for a fact. But that was a menace. And Australia has to be the laughingstock of the international motor racing world when kangaroos run across Bathurst and Cape Barren geese stop superbike races at Phillip Island. No other track in the world is inundated by animals.
There's one in country New South Wales that gets the occasional kangaroo.
Yeah, but I'm talking about in the world. Australian tracks, yes, I understand. But no other country in the world has a motor racing track.
Was it right? America had a moose.
It was a deer.
Yeah.
Cristiano D'Amato hit a deer? Yeah.
Clocked him.
Yeah. A deer is bigger than a Cape Barren goose.
Jacques Villeneuve's dad's track in Canada doesn't have bears running across it.
You don't hear of those casualties.
A bunch of rogue Canadian bears.
Jack Villeneuve's dad's track.
I was filthy.
If you haven't got it,
I was filthy.
That's a good knot. I like it. That's good. Excellent.
CullTheCapeBarrenGeese.com. It's coming soon.
We'll investigate what other animals of the world invade.
That's got TRT feature written all over it, doesn't it?
Yeah. That's our wheelhouse.
Can we please do that?
That is our wheelhouse. Speaking of next week's show, we will power rank all of the supercars liveries. Ooh. So jump on the socials at The Race Talk on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and let us know your hots and nots of that. We'll put a post up at some point and let us know what you like and dislike. Mark and I went through them today, Shebex, and we've got a rough pecking order. Could change, though. There's still one livery that hasn't been released. But believe it or not, the one black car right now with no livery whatsoever actually is not last.
Well, no, because it's metallic black, and you like that.
No, no, but it's not. We both agreed it's not last.
You can do crimes against liveries, as it turns out.
You can.
I'd be very surprised if the monster car wasn't in your top three.
In my top personal top three?
Yeah.
Was it? No, I can't remember.
Actually, it's right here.
No, that's fine. There were...
Save it for next week.
No, it wasn't.
It wasn't.
Oh. It could, but look, next week's a long way away. Anyway.
Yeah, exactly.
Right, so boys, get on the socials.
Have a great weekend down to Phillip Island, my friend. I know I did last week.
Blendline TV. Join the rush.
Don't go there.
Catch it all. You have a great weekend down there too, Mark. Glad you got your pass.
Yeah, I'm very proud of myself. Thank you, Tony.
And I will catch you all next week. Thanks for joining us right here on The Grid.
This program is a Radio Show Limited production.
Tell your friends there's more at RadioLeMans.com.